Perth Overnight with John Lewis for Christian James Hairdressing Mount Lawley. 6 p.m.
Good morning, 29 minutes to 4, early on Saturday morning. Nice to have our friends tuned in around the world too. Well, now we've got friends in the USA. A singer, and she's got movie involvement as well. Maybe we should say an entertainer of all areas. Once you start in the entertainment business, it's all good. Let's find out more about Jenna Vonnoy, who joins us now. Hiya, Jenna.
How are you today?
Well, I'm well, and I understand you've just released a new album, and it's about, well, it's got two words in it. One of them, I am, and the other, I love.
Well, absolutely, and it's and actually two things that I love, which are coffee and men.
Yeah, how good is coffee, hey, Jenna?
I just warmed some up for myself. I'm having my mid-afternoon coffee. Some people take tea. I take coffee. It's actually probably the best addiction that I could possibly have.
I would agree absolutely with that. And tell us a bit about yourself, Jenna. I mean, for those who are new to you, tell us how did you get involved in entertainment? How did you get to sing? Tell us the whole story.
Well, it's a really long story, but the Reader's Digest version is that when I was about 3 years old, I saw a commercial on television for Jordache jeans, and there were young girls dancing and doing ballet in the commercial, and I think it was probably the first awareness I had that this was a job that someone had, that I could actually put a leotard and jeans on and do a commercial, and so I started begging my parents to let me do commercials, and again, Reader's Digest version, one thing led to another. My parents, my poor parents, knew nothing about the entertainment industry at all, but they did know that they had a child who really needed to be creatively challenged, so they were really supportive, and they helped me out, and we just searched until someone knew what to do with me, and I began auditioning in New York City for commercials, and that led, one thing led to another, and I ended up doing my first television series when I was 12 years old, called Lenny, which was sort of short-lived because it aired during the Gulf War, so unfortunately it kept getting preempted, and, so it didn't last too long. But I immediately went into a second series called Blossom, which ended up being on television for 5.5 years and was a pretty phenomenal time of my life. I got to be, I guess, the so-called child star, which I know the connotations of that are pretty terrible sometimes, but I find myself very, very blessed. And singing has always been a passion. I've been singing as long as I've been acting, but the acting took off first. And because I was fortunate enough to actually be on television for so long, it really didn't give me enough time to be working on music full time. And so now I'm kind of settling in on my music career. And I released my first album in 2007. It was called Breathing Room. And it was sort of a raw, more emotional, cathartic album for me. And then this most recent album, which I just released last week on the 4th of August, is called Coffee and Men, an EP for Childish Adults. And as it sounds in the name, it's very kitschy and quirky and left of center, and I just had a ton of fun doing it.
Would you describe it as a cool, groovy album that you'd hear in a cafe, or is it something that's more in your face? How'd you be with
it? It's something you would hear in a French cafe, probably. It's definitely cafe music. It's sort of, I like to say it's Feist meets a really warped Nora Jones with a little bit of Betty Boop thrown in, which I know is a very odd description, but it's, like I said, very kitschy and quirky, and my roots were in a lot of Broadway and show music, and so I think when people listen to the album, they hear that I've been influenced by show tunes, but also by jazz and blues and pop music and everything across the board.
So we're expecting those kind of deep percussive sounds that you get with those kind of cafe albums, Frenchy albums? That
absolutely. Boom. Yeah, I even have a really out-of-tune accordion in one of the songs. It was very fun.
What is it about accordion? Sometimes they just write the songs themselves. You hear a certain sound, you think, there's the song. All I have to do is just start it and finish it.
Absolutely. Well, it was funny because, you know, my first inclination was just a side street in Paris, and so, of course, I wanted an accordion. And I had this amazing, amazing musician who played on my album, and she's a piano player, but she also plays accordion. And she came in with her accordion, and it was such a beautiful sound, but it was so in tune, and I thought, well, that's not what someone playing accordion on the side of the street of Paris is going to sound like. So we ended up, my engineer had an accordion that he knew was really out of whack, and so he ended up playing that on the album instead, and I mean, it's ridiculous because it's so out of tune, but it makes the song because of it.
Yeah, well, that's what you want. Well, I'm glad you did it that way, because I thought, uh-oh, don't tell me you got her recording and dropped off the building and said, right, take two, let's go again.
Oh, goodness, no. No, there's no harming of instruments involved in my project.
Oh, good to hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Where'd you get the title, Coffee and Men? Is it just because you love these things?
You know what? This had been a title that I've been wanting to write for a very long time, and I knew that I needed to find someone to write it with who was as quirky as me. And you would think that that would be very easy to find, but it's not. And so I met this girl that we sat down to write together, and we just did not feel like writing country music that day, which is often what Nashville songwriters end up having to write. You know, mainstream country music, there's such a market for it here. And since that's where I live, oftentimes I'll end up writing country music in place of some of the things that are sometimes a little more passionate for me. And so I said to her, I have this song title that I've been dying to write. It's called Coffee and Men. And she said, I love it. Let's go for it. I'm in. And it just sort of fell out in about an hour. And it amazed me when we finished the song that it was not only already done, but that it was as fun and sarcastic and wonderful as it was. And then the album title kind of came from that, because I hadn't actually anticipated making another album so quickly. And it was just, it was so fun. Everybody who heard the song said, you know, you should really write a whole album like that. And so I decided I would go ahead and write the album, and I did it mostly to pitch to television and film, because I thought if I could merge my acting career with my singing career, I would be golden. So ideally, you know, if I could get some songs placed in a show that I'm in, it would be wonderful. I'd get to have both of my careers simultaneously. And so I did this album specifically to pitch for television and film.
Good for you. And is there an instrument that you most like to work with when you're writing songs?
You know, it's odd. When I conceive of a song idea in my head, I sort of hear it in my head on piano, but I cannot play a lick of piano, which is most unfortunate, because I really wish I could. I wish I had taken lessons as a child and really learned. But I'm terrible at piano, and I can mostly plunk, which doesn't work so well as a songwriter. I play some guitar. I cannot say I'm the greatest guitar player known to man, but I also live in a town full of incredible musicians, so it's a little intimidating. You know, so I can play a little bit of guitar, enough to get my ideas across. And mostly I just love hearing melodies and lyrics in my head. So mostly I write on guitar, but if I can find someone who plays some incredible piano, it really inspires me.
How about that? Now, you've been involved in a couple of my favorite movies, Born on the 4th of July, and Dr. Dolittle, the goofy movie, truth be told. But do you know what's really got my attention? I love those your American cop shows, and you actually got to be in one of them. What was it? Cold Case, I think. Is that right?
I did. That was a really amazing episode to be in, and I'm not giving anything away because the episode's already aired. So, but you'll have to look for it, because, you know, I think having been in sitcoms for as many years as I was, most people expect me to take roles where I'm being funny. Now, mind you, I'm not a terribly funny person on my own, but when someone else writes a script for me, damned if I can't be funny. So they, you know, I think a lot of times I haven't been cast in roles where I had to be really serious or where they were really challenging from an emotional standpoint. And in this particular episode of Cold Case, I actually get to be the killer. And so it was such a kind of a weird turn for me, and it was so neat to be able to do that for once.
Wow, what was your weapon?
My weapon was a gun.
Oh, my goodness.
A revolver, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. And did you confess at the end, or did you get one?
You know, I don't confess. I get caught,
oh, okay.
But I don't confess.
Right.
I think I very angrily get caught.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's it like being involved? Because I reckon that these people are kind of like they've got their formula, they've got the day worked out, must be very fast, must be long days. But I reckon they'd make it nice.
Yeah, the days are really long. I mean, I think people have this strange idea that an actor's life is always glamorous. I mean, there are certain parts you hear about that are glamorous, but not everyone leads that life, and you know, that's not what it feels. It doesn't feel so glamorous when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you've been at work for 20 hours and all you want to do is go home and sleep, and you still have to be funny, or you still have to do a scene where you're crying your eyes out, which, you know, sometimes makes for a little bit of a draining day.
Well, I think it would do.
Yeah, it's such a great job. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's something I've loved since, like I said, I was 3 years old and saw that silly Jordache jeans commercial, and it really developed into this incredible full-scale career for me, and I still love it as much, if not more, than I did back then, and added by the fact that now I get to sing along with it and pursue that aspect of my passion. It's a good life. I'm blessed. I'm very blessed.
And one of the things I like best, honestly, Jenna, is the fact that you are here because you decided that's what you wanted to do. You think about how many people could be doing other things if only they got up and they just pushed themselves harder than the regular life allowed. You know,
well,
you just take the
You know,
step.
I hear about all these child actors even whose parents decided for them that they should be in this career for one reason or another. I mean, I'm certain for some of them it's that their parents are living vicariously. I'm sure for others that their parents just think it's really neat and that their child's got a special talent, and so they push them out there and push them into it. And it is such a demanding career that unless you've chosen it for yourself, it really can work you over and do crazy things to your mental state, I think. And, you know, thus the reason there are those connotations with a child star are out there. But I'm really lucky because I chose it for myself, and I somehow managed to have these parents who were so supportive and just wanted to help me do what I love. And I do think it's about pushing yourself and not being afraid to take risks. And I know that that's cliche, but it's absolutely the truth. I think that the reason I was as successful as I was as a child is because I knew no boundaries. there was nothing in my little three-year-old brain that could possibly think, oh, well, maybe this won't work out. Maybe I can't be on a TV show.
That's what you
it
do.
It just wasn't in there. It didn't exist, you know, for me, you know.
I reckon
my
that's
reality
the beauty.
Was that everything was possible.
And that's the beauty of starting young, because when you're young, that naivety kind of protects you. That naivety that doesn't allow you to see that this could be big trouble. You just think, oh, it'll be fine, and off you go. And it is. It is fine.
Yeah, I mean, as a child, you don't know failure. Failure isn't something in your vocabulary at all. And it's only, I think, when we get a little bit older and realize that things can go wrong and one small thing can happen and the whole deal falls apart, that we start to get concerned, you know. And I think as I've grown up and I have all of these adult responsibilities now to take care of course, I put a little bit more pressure on myself, I think, to be successful at things just because I want to continue on with this thing that I love, and now I do know what failure is, and now I do know what rejection is and all of those things, but it's also worth it to put yourself out there and wear your heart on your sleeve. I mean, even with these albums that I did, you know, I think initially a lot of people were very wary about me putting an album out because I think they've known me as an actress, and I think a lot of times your first thought about an actor singing is, oh, God, they think they can do that, too.
Well, you know, Phoenix is out there doing his thing, isn't he?
You know, there are so many of us that are out there doing stuff, and I really have an appreciation for the people who go out there and don't just say, you know what, I think this could be a moneymaker for me. If it's about that, don't do it. Don't wear yourself out. You know, and don't do that to everybody else, because I think the world really appreciates the honest people who go out there and truly just want to put their talent out there and are doing it because that's what's in their heart. And that's why I wrote every song on both albums, and that is why I co-produced both albums and played on them. And, you know, I mean, I poured my blood, sweat, and tears into both of them. And it's because I want people to take it seriously, and I want them to understand that it came from a place with the best of intentions, and if they don't love it, I can understand that, and I can get with that, because as long as they give it a shot, and they understand that it came from the best place and it came from my heart, then I'm good.
Good for you. Absolutely beautiful. Coffee and Men, that's available. And your earlier album, Breathing Room. Now, if we want to purchase these, if folks tuned in thinking, well, I wouldn't mind getting hold of one of these, I reckon if we just go to your website, is that simple?
Yeah, it's really easy. You can go to www.jennavonoy, and it's VONOY.com. Also, Breathing Room is currently available on iTunes. Coffee and Men is on its way to iTunes as we speak, but they sometimes like Shaker Sweet Time getting stuff out there, so it's a little bit behind, but that should be up on iTunes in the next couple of weeks as well. And they're both also on CDBaby.com.
Very, very simple. And I'll put that your website on my next newsletter, so when the folks get the newsletter, they can see the website and do that too. Hey, Jenna, we've got a radio challenge for you.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness. Okay.
Are you ready for
challenge? I hope it pertains to coffee. If it pertains to coffee, I'm in.
We want you to make a cup of coffee and deliver it here.
That might take a while. We might be on the air for a long time.
Here is your challenge. We would like you to sing a line from a song, unaccompanied, live, a cappella, right now. Are you up for the radio challenge?
I am. How about I sing the chorus of Coffee and Men, and then you guys can get a little taste of what it sounds like.
A taste. I like that.
No pun intended. Some say it's good, some say it's bad, but it's the sweetest damn addiction that I've ever had. It brings me up and down again, but I just got to have my coffee and then.
We like it.
Thank you.
That's a winner.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Jenna. A real pleasure talking to you, and we look forward to hearing more from you in the near future. Keep up the great work.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I really had a lot of fun.
That's our new friend, Jenna Vonoy. Jenna, I got it right earlier. Jenna Vonoy joining us from jennavonoy.com if you want to check out her website.
Hey, this is Jenna Vonoy from jennavonoy.com, and you're listening to John Lewis on 6PR. Hey, this is Jenna Vonoy from jennavonoy.com, and you are listening to my fellow coffee lover, John Lewis, on 6PR. Hey, this is Jenna Vonoy from jennavonoy.com, and you are listening to my fellow coffee lover, John Lewis, on 6PR.